The following is Radhashtami lecture, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasa Thikari, recorded on September 21st, 2015, in New Madhuvana, Bulgaria.
Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutte Devi Pranamami Vrindhi Priye. So, today is the most auspicious day, Radhashtami. The appearance day of Srimati Radharani. She appeared just after Krishna. We had Janmashtami a few days ago, now we're having Radhashtami. So, this worship of Radharani is very, very important. Because she has the soft, feminine nature. Therefore, we first say Hare, and then we say Krishna. Hare is the vocative form of Hara. It's like when we speak about her as Radha, we call out to her as Radhe. That's the vocative form. When you call out to that person, that's the vocative form of the noun. So just as Radha becomes Radhe, Hara becomes Hare. So we are calling to Radha and then we are calling to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains in a lecture he gives in London, and we have the recorded lecture. How we should pray to Radharani. That my dear mother, Radharani, sometimes we hear some devotees object to being called mother. They want to be called Prabhu instead of mother. But Radharani is the biggest Prabhu of all, and she's called mother. So she is the topmost of all the Prabhus. She is mother. So my dear mother Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna. This is how we are to pray, Prabhupada explains. So when Radharani hears this request from the devotee, she then recommends to Krishna, my dear Krishna, just see this devotee, he is better devotee than me. So as soon as Krishna hears, oh, a devotee better than Radharani, let me see who is this devotee. So, and Krishna is a little hard to get mercy from. But Radharani is very easy to get mercy from. So you use Radharani's mercy to get Krishna's mercy. That's the idea. So that's why Lord Chaitanya, you see, he's also more merciful than Krishna. Because when Krishna takes the mood of Radharani, that is Lord Chaitanya. So, by chanting Gauranga's name, we also get the mercy of Radharani. So, why do we need this mercy, one could ask? the new time, a first time guest came to our temple, what do you need mercy for? Why do you Hare Krishnas keep talking about mercy? I want money. Why don't you talk about money? That's what I'm interested in. Money, 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 money. You keep saying mercy, mercy, mercy. I'm thinking money, money, money. So why are we more interested in mercy than we are in money? Well, I can tell you this, money will not get you out of this material world. You can be the wealthiest multi-billionaire on the whole planet Earth. And become a dog in your next life. So what is the value of all this wealth? But if you get the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of Radharani, then punarjanmana vijjate. You will not take birth again in this material world. It's stated by Krishna in Gita. Abrahma bhuvana loka punarvartinarjana mam upechita kaunteya punarjanmana vijjate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest. All are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place, but one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, punar janma na vijate, he never takes birth again.
От най-висшата до най-нишата планета в този материален свят всички са места на страдания, но този, който достигне моята обител, О сина на Кунти, той се ражда отново в материалния свят.
So how do you attain the abode of Krishna? That is through the mercy of Krishna and the mercy of Radharani. You cannot gate crash your way into the spiritual world. Now that you can get some rocket ship and force your way into the spiritual world. Do you know how thick the coverings are in the universe? They're much thicker than our thick skulls. The first layer of the universe, there's this huge shell. Okay. The first covering is 10 times thicker than the inside portion. The second covering is 10 times greater than the first covering. The third covering is 10 times greater than the second covering. So if you look at it graphically, it'd be this huge, huge ball, you see. A little teeny weeny, insignificant little pinhole space in the middle. So how are you going to cross through those thick coverings, you see? Our rocket ships won't even make it to the edge of the open space. It seems like an insurmountable huge infinitude of space on the inside of the universe. But actually the inside is a little teeny speck. So the whole point is you cannot forcefully get out of this material world. By your money, by your power, by your good looks, by your renunciation, as they say, I renounce this world. Simply being a renouncer does not qualify you to get out of the cycle of birth and death. The only way to get out of the cycle of birth and death, to escape the material world, is to become a lover of God. The Mayavadis want to get out by their gyan. But the Bhagavad-gita states, they only achieve the tip of the toe of the lotus feet of the Lord. Actually, it's not even the tip. All they do is they get near the tip of the foot of the Lord. They do not actually come in contact with it. This is described. Yat padda padlavagagambanadaya kumpa danve pranama samaye sagana. That's the other verse. Let's see. Yeah, this verse. Pantastu koti shatavatsala sampragam yo vayorratapi manaso munipungavanam so pyaste yat prapapachintya vachintya tadve govindamari purusham damaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the Prime Evil Lord. Only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration or by the jnanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands of millions of years. So the yogis and the jnanis, they undergo great penances and austerities for thousands and millions of years. Can you imagine doing tapa for even 1,000 years? We have a hard time doing tapa even for 1 hour, you see. To sit and hear the Bhagavatam class is also too much for us sometimes. We sit there and we go sleeping, you see. Even this much austerity we can't. Even 1 hour of Bhagavatam we have a hard time sometimes. Can you imagine 1,000 or millions of years of tapa? It's inconceivable to us. But even after undergoing so much tapasya for thousands and millions of years, they don't get Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur clearly explains in his purport to this verse in the Brahma Samhita, they only come into the vicinity of the lotus feet of Krishna. It's like you're looking for a friend's house. You see, you've been come from a distant place, you wanted to meet your friend. You came 1,000 miles away from another country to visit your friend. And you actually get into the same neighborhood where he lives. You got that close. But you never found his house. You're only in the neighborhood. So what is the value? You took that 1,000-mile journey. You got to the neighborhood of your friend you were looking for. But you couldn't find his house. You couldn't meet him. So that's the yogis and the jnanis. They come into the vicinity of Krishna's lotus feet. But they can't actually touch it. So that we're not interested in this yoga and this jnana. We're interested in bhakti jnana, you see, bhakti yoga. Because this bhakti, it will save us. Simply you have to develop sincere love for Krishna. Actually, it is not difficult to develop love for Krishna. Because Krishna is so adorable, he's so lovable. He's so beautiful. He's so powerful. He's so renounced also. You may say, renounced? What do you mean renounced? He had 16,000 girlfriends. I mean, how can he be renounced? But actually, it's a fact. In the Rajasuya Yajna, it was declared by Grandfather Bhishma that Krishna is the greatest renunciate. Actually, you may know that Grandfather Bhishma, he is known for being the greatest of all renouncers. His father wanted to marry one girl. The kshatriyas is they could have more than one wife, you see. So there was a young girl, Satyavati, that he wanted to marry. And even though she's just a fisherman's daughter, still the etiquette is the father has to give permission. You can't just marry a girl on your own. You have to get the father's permission. So the father said, no. My daughter's son will just be a servant. Because you already have a son. This Bhishma is your son. He will be the next king. I want my daughter's son to be the king, not this son you already have, Bhishma. No, I don't want him. I want my daughter's son to be the king. So no, I will not allow this marriage. So Bhishma, he was very dedicated to his father. His father wants to marry this girl. All right, let me do whatever it takes so my father will get the girl he wants to marry, you see. So he said, I will not become king. I promise I will not become king. So now you can marry now she can marry my father. Is that all right? He said, no, because then your son will become king. So then Bhishma said, therefore I declare I shall never marry, I will remain brahmachari forever. And he kept that vow, you see. And by that tapa he became very powerful. That he would never die unless he wanted to die. He would never be forced to die, never. His death would only come when he chose to die. He would never die by force. So therefore he gained the reputation of being the greatest of all renouncers, Grandfather Bhishma. So at the Rajasuya Yajna, Grandfather Bhishma declared that actually Krishna is more renounced than me. Because we have heard about Rasa Lila. Have we ever heard anything about pregnancy or abortion after the Rasa Lila? Krishna remains strict brahmachari. Even though he is dancing with all these beautiful girls for a whole night of Brahma, you see. He never had sexual relations with any of the girls. So therefore, Grandfather Bhishma says, he is the greatest of all brahmacharis. So in this way, you see, Krishna is the most beautiful, he's the most powerful, he's the most renowned, he's also the wealthiest. This is confirmed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. I am the owner of everything.
Krishna казва, аз съм собственикът на всичко.
So who can be more wealthy than Krishna? Everything is Krishna's property.
Всичко принадлежи на него.
Everything belongs to Krishna. Therefore, how can anyone be as wealthy as Krishna? They only, even the wealthiest people of this world, they only own a little tiny insignificant fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the opulence of Krishna. Actually, they don't even own it. They just think that they own it. That's it. And as far as wisdom goes, Krishna is called Sarvagya. He is the perfect knower of past, present, and future. He declares in the Gita, I know everything that has happened in the past. I know everything that's happening now. And I know everything that will happen in the future. But he says, but me, no one knows. Krishna is unknown except to his pure devotees. So Krishna is the most powerful, the most beautiful, the most renowned, he's the most wealthy, he's the most knowledgeable, and he is no one is more famous than Krishna also. In the history, there is no one who is no more well known and famous than Krishna. So that is the Supreme Person. If you find that person who possesses unlimited power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame, then you have found God. It's not that any ordinary man can become God by popular votes. God is only God because he has unlimited power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame. So when we discover who actually is that God, who is that Supreme Person, we have a choice. We can surrender to his authority, or we can try to defy his authority by acting independently, according to our own whims, following the dictates of our senses. So you have a choice. You want to follow the dictates of your senses? Or do you want to follow the dictates of the Supreme Person? So one can study, well, what's in it for me? If I serve my senses, what do I get? Instant gratification. If I'm hungry, I eat. If I'm lusty, I have sex. I can gratify myself instantly. Say whatever I want. Instant gratification. But you know what? You're not that body. So you're not really gratifying yourself. You're not really satisfying yourself. So sense gratification is not really practical. You're actually a spiritual being. You're qualitatively one with the Supreme Person. So the only thing that really satisfy you is when you rishikesha rishikena sevanam, when you engage your senses in the service of the master of senses, Krishna. So you may say, well, if I'm not this body, then why do I have to engage these senses in Krishna's service? It's not me. Why bother? I'll just think of Krishna. Why do I have to engage my senses in serving him? The senses are not me, they're just a covering of the self. Well, the fact is, Whatever you engage your senses in, that's what your mind will be absorbed in. If you engage your senses in sense gratification, your mind will be absorbed in sense gratification. The mind is a subtle sense. And whatever you engage your gross senses in, that's what the mind will be absorbed in. Therefore, we have to engage our senses in the service of the master of the senses. They have a saying in English, come to your senses. In other words, wake up. Don't be in an illusion. Come to your senses. So by engaging your senses in the service of the master of the senses, then you come to your senses. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant to bring you out of illusion and bring you back to your eternal identity. The fact is, you are the eternal servant of Krishna. You have nothing to do with this material body. It's just the costume that you're wearing right now. It's not you. You're not male, you're not female, you're not Bulgarian, you're not Russian, none of these things. You are an eternal associate of the Supreme Person. And now, because you were envious of him, you find yourself caught up in the cycle of birth and death, which is nothing but a vehicle to purify you of your envious mentality and bring you back to your eternal constitutional nature. Therefore, you should, if you have any intelligence, you will take the awakening of your Krishna consciousness as the one purpose of your life. I have one purpose and one purpose only in this lifetime, and that is to awaken my dormant Krishna consciousness. If you're on a sinking ship, what is your business? To enjoy your senses on the ship? Or to get on the lifeboat and get off the ship? Please use your intelligence. Don't be a fool, a rascal, who tries to continue to enjoying on the sinking Titanic. Just imagine you're on the Titanic, see? It hits that iceberg. And you're thinking, well, this ship is not going to sink. Let me go to the restaurant and have a nice dinner. Or go to the ballroom and have a nice dance. The orchestra is playing. Let me just go and have a nice dance with that beautiful girl in the ballroom. Don't be a fool. This Titanic has hit an iceberg. Even though they advertise this ship will never sink, it sank. And so many people died. And there are many empty places on the lifeboats also. So the lifeboat is here. The material world is the Titanic. ISKCON is the lifeboat. So get yourself on this lifeboat. Take Prabhupada's instructions as your guiding principle.
Инструкциите на Прабхупад като ръководен принцип.
Don't remain a servant of your rascal senses any longer.
Не оставайте слуги на вашите сетива повече.
Servant you must be, your nature is to be a servant.
Така или иначе вашата природа е да сте слуги.
So instead of serving that which is going to cheat you and exploit you, namely your material senses, give your service in that place where you will not be cheated. That is Krishna consciousness. Do not remain caught up in the cycle of birth and death. Become an intelligent person. Become awakened to your eternal nature.
Пробудете се към вашата вечна природа.
This is our request of you all.
Това е нашата молба към всички вас.
So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Има ли някакви въпроси?
Questions? So there's no questions, we can stop here. Srimati Radharani Ki Jai. Transcendental Appearance Day of Srimati Radharani Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi.